I've been watching some of the new series Cosmos. Cosmos, a space-time odyssey with Neil deGrasse Tyler on the National Geographic Channel and on Fox. Some of you may have been watching it as well. The other night I was watching an episode and it reminded me of a story about Bishop John Shelby Spong. Spong was on the faculty of a conference in Washington, D.C. a number of years ago, and as it happens, Spong's friend, the now deceased Carl Sagan, of course, of Cosmos, was also on the faculty of that event. John Spong referred to Sagan as the most God-obsessed atheist that he ever knew. Which is to say, Sagan spent more time talking about the God that he didn't believe in than most believers do talking about God at all. At any rate, Spong told the audience at this conference, Spong related, Carl Sagan came running to him, and they were on break, and Sagan said to Spong, Jack, do you know how a scientist thinks about the ascension of Jesus? Spong, knowing that he was being baited, responded, no, but I'm sure I'm about to learn. And Sagan went on, well, it's like this. If Jesus began ascending into heaven 2,000 years ago, and if we assume he was traveling at the speed of light, some 186,000 miles per second, then at that rate, 2,000 years ago, he's not even out of our galaxy. Spong went on to point that Carl Sagan added, and there are billions and billions and billions of galaxies. Now, of course, what Carl Sagan and Spong were both playing with at the time, which is what most of us play with on these Ascension Sundays, is that the story of the Jesus' ascension into heaven makes little rational sense. As a matter of fact, I would go so far to say that if we try to deal with this story on a literal level, if we think of the ascension of Jesus as literal and a historic event in which Jesus physically ascended, in which Jesus was lifted away from the ground and then into the skies, if we think of the ascension that way, we're either completely unaware of the sort of information that Carl Sagan had at his fingertips, or we are completely shutting down our minds and our intellects that have been given to us by God. Such a literalist read of this scene of the Gospels leaves us with an image like the one in your bulletins, the painting of the Ascension by Hassus von Klumbach. Jesus raised with his feet sticking out of the clouds. Face it, the Ascension, as it has been interpreted by some as a piece of literal history in which Jesus was lifted into the skies, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us in our time with our understanding of the universe. We don't live in a three-tiered universe anymore. No longer do we think of the universe as our ancestors did, with heaven, earth, and below earth as the three planes of reality. There was, of course, a time when we thought of heaven as being a place above us, some place out there beyond the skies, but no longer can we think in those terms. We've been out there. We've been beyond the skies. No matter which way we've gone, we have found nothing more than the same. Space, and more beautiful, glorious space. So, what are we gonna do with this ascension stuff? For a modern person, it makes no sense. But of course, as I'd like to point out to anyone who will listen to me, we so-called modern people tend to make very basic and very arrogant mistakes at looking at other cultures and other periods of history and time. We make the mistake, as we assume, that we are more advanced than they are, that we are more advanced culturally, intellectually. We assume that our culture and our knowledge is at the height of human achievement. And that's a point well made as we send out people on mission trips to Rosebud and other places. Our culture is one culture in the midst of many cultures, all of which hold value and all of which are worth listening to in their own view of the world. What I'm trying to suggest is that just maybe the people 2,000 years ago were incredibly sophisticated in their understanding. And just maybe it never would have crossed their minds to do something like literalize these stories that surround the completion of Jesus' ministry. Maybe they, in fact, understood the preposterous nature of such claims and realized that the important thing wasn't whether or not such things happened historically. The important thing was that such claims pointed to something about God and our relationship to God. And I suspect that were we to travel 2,000 years back in time, we'd hear the people of that time say something like, "There is nothing to do with the ascension that we don't know." Because I think they got it. The ascension was a wonderfully mythic way of telling us something glorious about God and about the loving grace of God, made known in his life, death, and resurrection. What this story tells us is that in the fullness of God's plan, not only has God come to us in human form in the incarnation, but through the ascension has taken the fullness and the essence of human form and all of creation and accepted it into God's own self. What the ascension means is that there is now no separation between earth and heaven. There is no separation between God and humankind. In the person of Jesus, the chasm has been bridged. We have been accepted by God. We are accepted, acknowledged, embraced, loved, hold fast, bounded to, captured, hook, line, and sinker by the creator of the world. And there is absolutely nothing that can ever change that. We are all of us, every last one of us, accepted, loved, embraced. In his final novel, Island, Aldous Huxley wrote about the adventures of a shipwrecked Englishman on Pala, an imaginary island somewhere in the Pacific Ocean. The society of that island had evolved to the point where there was a universal economic and social well-being experienced by everyone, and an enormously high level of respect for individual rights and freedoms. Moreover, individuals were given the liberty to develop emotionally and spiritually at their own pace, in their own way. Now, one of the really unusual features of Pala was its trained birds, mina birds, whose sole function was throughout the day to loudly screech, "Attention, attention, here and now. Here and now," at random intervals. Throughout the day, they'd screech. I was reminded of Huxley's novel as I thought about today's gospel, because the ascension story doesn't end with Jesus' feet disappearing into the clouds. If it ends at all, it ends with the utterance of the question, "Why do you stand looking up at the sky?" This story isn't about the past. No Bible story is ever about the past. This story is about the here and the now. The Ascension isn't a message just saying that we're loved and accepted. The Ascension is a message for us for the here and now, to spread the news and assist in creating a kingdom where there is wholeness and compassion for all. The arms that stretched out and up to heavens are now arms that embrace all of creation. And those arms are now our arms. So, my friends, stop looking up to the sky. Here and now, attention, attention, ascension, here and now. Amen.